My name is Lydia Ittok. I'm originally from Kangasualutjuaq. That's in the Angava coast of northern Quebec, located above northeast of Kootjuaq. A lot of people know Kootjuaq, but they don't know Kangasualutjuaq. I'm originally from there. I now live in Montreal, but I do go back home as much as I can.
My name is Nina Sigalowitz. I'm originally from Fort Smith, Northwest Territories. My mother is originally from Inuvik, and my dad is originally from Alberta. I presently live near Montreal, and that's pretty much it.
And what is throat singing?
Throat singing is imitation of nature, animals, nature surrounding us, such as river, the wind, animals, birds, or it can be tools. They're not precise imitations, but they represent nature that surrounds us. Basically, these are sounds made by women facing each other. Throat singing is a competition between two women. They try to outsing the other. The first person who laughs or stops loses the game. So the goal of the game is to try to throat sing as long as possible. Now, there's a leader and there's a follower. The leader has to try to trick the follower by changing the sounds. Now, if the follower does not follow properly, she loses the game. And it was done by women a long, long time ago. Because Inuit lived in igloos, when guys went out hunting, it was a way to warm up, to get warm, or either get their babies, which they carry in the back, using the emotics for them to fall asleep. You know, when you're touching the back of the mother, you can feel the vibrations, and that would get the baby to fall asleep. It was a form of a competition between two women. You could bet on anything, on food, on items, or even men. I'm single. Nina's single. And we see a hunter. He's a very good hunter. And we both had an eye on him. Now we could compete in order to get this guy. And the one who wins the game gets the man. Gets the hunter. That was a long time ago. We don't do that
Bring
today.
Bring it on, sister girlfriend.
We don't do that today. We just do it for pleasure.
So I wanted to ask you a little bit about that. How is it used today? How has the tradition changed in modern times?
When the missionaries started going up north, they were converting Inuit to Christianity. Their religion was shamanism, but while the missionaries were converting the Inuit to Christianity, they were saying that throat singing was it was bad, basically. So the women were told not to throat sing anymore because basically they were praising the devil. So that's how the throat singing almost got lost. But thankfully, there were elders who still knew how to do it, so they started teaching their children, their grandchildren, and more young people wanted to learn how to throat sing. And that's how it was slowly revived. And nowadays, it's our way of sharing our culture, our tradition. We want to keep it alive.
In terms of how it's used today, personally, like, I had grown up away from my culture and my community and my people and my language and my traditions. And so when I discovered throat singing about 15 years ago, it was a way for me to reconnect with who I was. And how I use it today is I teach my daughter how to throat sing, and she loves to throat sing, and she knows how to throat sing. And so for me, it's more than just an art form. That it was like it's a historical. It's music that's historical, and it's beautiful, and it's ancient. And the first time I heard it, it just moved me, and it was because it was old. You know, there was no. It's not. There's no techno. There's no. It was really. You could tell that it was there for thousands of years. And it was primal. It was simple. The first time I heard it, and it was moving, and it touched me in a way that I hadn't expected it to, and I was surprised. And it was almost like I recognized it, but I didn't. And so when I first started doing it, it was a way for me to reconnect with who I was, to reconnect with my mother, who I had never met, who I never got a chance to meet. She had passed away before I could meet her. And for me, it was an important part to kind of build up a part of me that had been broken for a long, long time. And so I was able to meet my friend Takalik, who I throat sing, and Lydia and Eve, and you know, lots of inner women who today love doing it. And we just do it hanging out and at the bus stop or whatever, or at college, university, and just kind of do it spontaneously. And for me it's an energy that we share, and sometimes it's spontaneous, sometimes it's formal. Like we will have a performance, like we will have on later on tomorrow, and all forms like that. It doesn't change the fact that it's old, and it doesn't change the fact that it's ancient, and it connects people who've never heard it before. Are moved by it, even simply from hearing it for the first time, because something in them recognizes that it's old, it's not, and it's been passed down. So for me, I use it as a way to reconnect with who I am, but also to share with, you know, who we are as a people, and that we're moving too. Even though it's an ancient art, even though it's an ancient music and ancient sounds, we're contemporary, you know. And I've done it with techno, I've done it with classical music, I've done it with the MSO and Montreal Symphony Orchestra, and so it's being used in different ways, but it still has the strength of the ancient. So
how did you learn? What was that process like?
I was in college in Montreal. Back home in the region where I come from, there's no college there to further. If we want to further our education, we have to go down south. To us, Montreal is down south. Minnesota is south south. Even further, it's south south south. Anyway, I went to Montreal to further my education in college, and I had a friend there who was from another community. But who was from the Hudson Coast. And her grandmother had been teaching her how to throat sing. And there was nobody in our group that knew how to throat sing as well. She wanted to practice and do it, and like just for fun, to pass time, see how better she could become. She started teaching me how to do it. We started practicing and competed with each other, and it was very playful. I never imagined that I would travel for this. And when she started teaching me how to do it, like, it was very nice. And like, it's something that made me feel proud of who I am, where I come from. So I decided that, you know what, instead of doing this just playfully, I'm going to get serious into this, really learn how to do it. And she taught me, a friend of mine who was going to college as well. So, and we've traveled together since then, and it's been awesome.
What about for you, Nina? How did you learn?
I was actually going to Concordia University, and I had my friend Dakali Partridge, who is a phenomenal woman. She does spoken word and lots of art things and expressive things. And when we first met in, 1994, 95, I think, she was like, she stepped up to me and we were having like an Aboriginal date. She's like, "Are you Inuit?" And I'm like, "Yes, I am." And so we ended up being friends for a bit. But we both found out that we didn't know how to throat sing, neither one of us, but we knew somebody who did. So we went and we went on a bus ride to Dorval, and we sat around on the floor with a bunch of cassettes. There was no CDs there. It was cassette tapes, and we listened to throat singing. And it was up to us to decipher the sounds. It was up to us to decipher how to break it down, because traditionally when Inuit learn something, it's not like you go into a school class and sit down and you do A, B, C, A, B, C, A, B, C, repeat. It's self-propelled learning and apprenticeship that you have. And so she just basically gave us a cassette and said, "Come back when you can do these sounds." So we were there for a good 2 weeks trying to, like, we were totally obsessed with it. Every time we'd like, "Press play, rewind, press, rewind. What is that? What is that? What is that?" But then we couldn't do it, so we became really obsessed with it. And it became a competition for both of us to kind of, it was like a puzzle that was already put together, but we had to tear apart. And it was like pulling threads and untangling them. And as you untangle them, okay, this part goes here, and this nose goes here. And it was a process, and it made sense to me to do it that way, because it was born of a passion that we both had. So when we were learning it, it was not simply because it was by rote. It wasn't something that was crammed down our throats, or we were supposed to like imitate it and memorize it and spit it back out like into contemporary school. It was really self-propelled. So when we finally got it, the amount of pride that we had was tremendous, because we knew that we had worked really hard. And to decipher these beautiful sounds. And so as we started to do it, we were just doing it for fun as a way to like hang out and, you know, it's this throat singing, but then people took an interest in it, you know. So we're like, "What? They want to hear us on stage? But we're not professionals." Like, we had this, you know, this image that we had to be professionals, and, but simply by being who we were and having an interest and a love for it, we already were the people that were meant to sing. And so, you know, it's brought us to France, it's brought us like to BC, it's brought us everywhere to, you know, to Grand Marais. And so it began as a journey to kind of decipher it, but now it's become more of like of a journey to meet people and discover, you know, different cultures and exchange and stuff like that. So
that's really wonderful. I want to have you both maybe do some throat singing so that our radio audience can get a sense for what it sounds like.
Anorik. Anorik is the wind. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, so that breakup at the end with the laughing, who...
It's unescapable. Laughing is unescapable after you've done it for a little while. It just comes.
So who won that round?
Nina won because I started laughing.
And what was that song? Was there anything specific in that song that you were...
That song is titled The Wind.
Why do you do this? We've talked a lot about, you know, the tradition and what you find in it. And what's at the heart of it for both of you that compels you to do throat singing?
Well, for me, it keeps me connected. Growing up in the North, my mother is originally from up north. She's Inuk, and my father was a Quebecois, a white person. So I'm a mix of both. Growing up in the North, I was considered a white person. But when I'd go down south, I was considered an Inuk. So for me, growing up, it was a struggle. I struggled with my identity growing up. But because I stayed closer, I was more connected to my Inuit heritage. Although it was somewhat difficult growing up because people saw me as a white person, in the end, I was treated differently because I stayed connected to my Inuit heritage, and this is one of the reasons why people see me as a real Inuk coming from the North, representing her people, sharing the culture, and that alone is very important to me. And that's one of the reasons why I do it. Like, it's to stay connected and to really represent the place where I come from, even though I'm a mix. Because I identify myself more as an Inuk.
I think I mentioned it a little bit before about why I do it, and I think it's knowing that these sounds have been made by women who I've never met, who have given birth to generations before me, and knowing that these songs come from a time when life was different, and it somehow is able to bring me back to a time where being Inuk was not a political thing, it wasn't a political identity, it wasn't about global warming, nor was it about the seals, or it was just simply a time to be, a time to hunt, a time to live, a time to love, a time to take care of the babies, time to, and there's moments when I'm singing, and it's not like a transcendent kind of ethereal, you know, channeling somebody, you know, mm-hmm. Doesn't go as far as that, but it comes pretty close to knowing that the voice that I carry, the sounds that I carry, come from thousands of years of music from a culture that still exists today, regardless of what has happened in the past, ecologically, geographically. And I do it in fun. I have grand old time meeting people all over the world. But there's moments truly where I'm amazed myself, not because I'm such a fabulous sword singer, but just that I'm able to reconnect seriously with women who laid their lives down for me to be here, for me to carry this on to my own daughter. And I try to honor them as much as I can and kind of remember them for the hardships that they went through and the beauty that they carried within them. So when I throat sing, and even though I didn't grow up as an Inuk and I don't speak Inuk to do it, and I don't, there's a lot of things that I don't do, but there's a lot of things that I, just simply who I am, being born Inuk, being born from there, coming from the land, that just simply is who I am. No one can take that away from me. And so for me, throat singing is a way to extend myself out to people and say, you know what, this is a part of who I am, and you can love it, you can try to dissect it, you can archaeologically look at it, you could anthropologically try to you can do whatever it is, but it will still remain an ancient art that's going to be passed on for thousands of years, because it's been done for thousands of years. So but the reason why I do it is simple, it's beautiful and it's moving, and I'm going to have a moment here.
It's like, you know, when you're throat singing, it's, you're doing it here and now. You're living,
yep.
You're living in the moment. Mm. And when you think about women who did it in the past, they themselves were doing it, living in the moment, you know?
Yeah.
There was no, they were just there and doing it, living in the moment, and not worrying about anything.
Facebook or poking somebody. Because it was simply the ebb and flow of life.
Yeah.
There was a time to throat sing, there was a time to sew, there was a time to cook, there was a time to hunt, and it just was a part of life. And so even though I don't sew, I don't hunt, I can still do that. I can still carry that with me. That's that. No one can take that away.
Thank you both so much for taking the time to come up here and visit with me. And it's really an honor to have you both.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.